Americans' feelings about foreign policy aren't very impassioned, especially when a draft is not the issue. I'm Brian Doherty, a senior editor at Reason Magazine and author of the book Radicals for Capitalism, A History of the Modern American Libertarian Movement. The perception of being anti-war as a strictly left progressive thing, I think, is a holdover from the Vietnam War, when all sorts of young people who had a counterculture hippie ferment amongst them outside the issues of foreign policy tended to be the loudest anti-war voices because they were the bodies that were at risk of being sent by force over to fight the war. But it didn't used to be that way. From the late 1890s, when the U.S. was first beginning its world-straddling empire role during the war with Spain and our subjugation of the Philippines, there was a mass anti-imperialist league of middle-class businessmen, some wealthy businessmen who had this 19th century and hopefully perhaps later 21st century vision of a limited constitutional republic. The notion that American wealth and American treasure and American lives should not be expended on these futile missions of reshaping the world has a respectably middle class, respectably Republican, respectably bourgeois pedigree. In the 30s, anti-war activism associated with things like the America First Committee was a super respectable Midwestern businessman kind of thing. It was, the Chicago Tribune was the major, anti-intervention newspaper, and all of these stout burgers who ran their own, chemical companies and meatpacking companies. These were the people who sort of understood viscerally, especially with the memory of World War I vivid, what war meant. It just meant hundreds and thousands of American kids being sent from their jobs, from their farms, from their families, and being killed. It could easily be embraced as a traditional family value because one thing that wars successfully do, especially to any family whose members get involved in those wars, is disrupt families, take fathers from their children, husbands from their wives, sons from their parents. Libertarians, unfortunately, in modern American history have always been too small a political constituency to actually shape the course of political events. But in intellectual history terms, it was issues of war and foreign policy that created a distinct libertarian movement to begin with. In the immediate Roosevelt and post-Roosevelt era, there was this inchoate group of people against the New Deal, for strictly limited constitutional government, for relatively unrestricted free market. Some of them called themselves libertarian, some of them called themselves conservatives. They didn't necessarily see that much of a distinction between themselves. And that distinction arose throughout the 50s and was really made remarkably clear by conservative godfather William Buckley, the founder of National Review, the most influential conservative magazine of the post-war era, which began in 1955. Buckley and other conservatives took the view, which was anathema to most libertarians, that the threat of Soviet communism was so severe that for the duration of the Cold War, we needed to forget about this whole notion of constitutionally limited government. We had to give the government all the power it needed to spy on subversives, to spend money on weapon systems, to finance education at high levels because the commies managed to send a little beeping ball up into space. You know, all of these considerations were thought more important than domestic liberty. Early libertarians like Leonard Reed of the Foundation for Economic Education, or the libertarian economist Murray Rothbard, who is still very influential today in the Ron Paul movement, they focused on liberty above all, and liberty for the American people above all, that it was not the mission of the American government to fight wars forever with the promise of somehow liberating the world. That was considered a foolish and impossible mission, and I think history has largely proven them right. It's clear that one of the main reasons that the Vietnam War created such mass social ferment was amongst the people who saw the potential for themselves to be drafted and sent away to fight and die in it, and their families. A volunteer military, which is a great libertarian victory, largely inspired by Milton Friedman, has had the side effect of diminishing people's emotions about foreign policy. It is usually a salutary instinct on the part of the American people that they're not that violently concerned with what's going on in the rest of the world. The unfortunate aspect of that is that politicians are generally able to get away with doing whatever they want when it comes to foreign policy, even if the people ostensibly object to it. The anti-war movement in America has been unfortunately neutered since the ascension of Barack Obama to the presidency. What fooled some anti-war people of a libertarian bent in the Bush era as being an actual and encouraging representation of a real mass popular movement against the war, one that didn't only express itself in poll numbers, but in actual people willing to get out in the streets, willing to put public political pressure on politicians, proved to be, unfortunately, just one more reflex of the American progressive left's anger with George Bush and the Republican Party. Partisan pride and an inability to admit a mistake now locks both parties into supporting these wars. It's wars that George W. Bush started, so the Republicans are implicated. It's wars that Barack Obama is now having to manage. It's hard for me to believe that anything other than, you know, declaring that we're invading France is going to upset his base. Obama made what's proven to be a savvy political calculation that it didn't matter if he tried to appease or make happy the anti-war vote out there, that the anti-war vote, for various other reasons, is too locked in to being supporters of the Democratic Party. While I would say to the Democrats of the world, you can be more dedicated to your principles than to your politicians, I would say to the Republicans, you know, George W. Bush is and should be considered part of the Republican Party's past. Everything about his policies, from war to spending, are things that the current Republican Party needs to run away from. To the extent that the Republican Party, the Tea Party movement, takes the notion of limited, responsible, affordable constitutional government at all seriously, they have to look at foreign policy and war to be intellectually consistent and politically intelligent. That does not mean that I expect that intellectual consistency or political intelligence in the immediate term, but I'm encouraged by the existence of Ron Paul types and by what I expect will be a rising number of Republican primary challengers in House and Senate races who hopefully will begin changing the median Republican opinion about foreign policy.